About a Young and Wise King, Chapter 80. Israel now had a very young king. Solomon was probably no more than 20 years old. When David began to reign as king, the Philistines were masters over the greatest part of the land. Now, as Solomon sits upon the throne, Israel is delivered from all their enemies. When David became king, the greatest portion of the army lay defeated upon the hills of Gilboa. Now that Solomon is sitting upon the throne, Israel has a great army. If necessary, they could muster 1.5 million soldiers. When David became king, the Israelites were poor and reduced to poverty due to the many wars. The fields were trodden down and laid waste. Now that Solomon has come to the throne, the Israelites live in peace and prosperity. Yes, now they are rich. They no longer are despised by the other nations. Such a great difference, isn't there? That came about because the Lord blessed Israel, because the Lord aided and delivered David in everything. Often David had to fight against many of Israel's enemies, but now Solomon shall be the prince of peace. He doesn't need to fight or make war. It is no longer necessary. In our thoughts, we see the young king sitting upon the throne, surrounded by his friends and servants. He sits in the place where his father formerly sat, in the beautiful cedar palace. Suddenly, a woman enters the room. Immediately, Solomon stands up and walks toward her. She is Bathsheba, his mother. Thus, Solomon honors his mother. Do you also do that? The Lord commands in His law, honor your father and your mother. That is a divine commandment. Solomon does not wait until Bathsheba comes to him. No, he walks to her and brings her to a chair which he places next to his throne. King, she says, I have come to ask you something. I hope you will grant me a favor and that you will not refuse me. You may ask me what you will, mother. I will not disappoint you, Solomon answers kindly. Then Bathsheba tells him that Adonijah had visited her. She says, Adonijah asked me if Abishag could become his wife. You surely think this is all right, don't you? At least I promised him that I would bring his request to you. You no doubt remember who Abishag was, don't you? She was the young girl who took care of King David when he became old and sickly. Now Adonijah wished to marry her. He did not dare ask the king himself, but Bathsheba was willing to bring his request to the king. When Solomon's mother finishes speaking, an angry glow comes into the eyes of Solomon. He says roughly, "Because Adonijah asked this, he shall be slain." "Why? Is that so terrible? What difference does it make?" Bathsheba does not understand it. Bewildered, she looks at her son. But actually, why did Solomon get so angry at his brother Adonijah? That is no wonder. Adonijah had promised that in the future he would live quietly. He had promised that he would never again attempt to become king. But he does not keep this promise. He is dissatisfied that his younger brother Solomon is sitting upon the throne of his father David. He again tries to drive Solomon away, not openly, but secretly, so that no one would notice it. Abishag was the last person to nurse David. She remained with David until he died. And now Adonijah wanted this girl to be his wife. With this idea, he meant that he really should have been king. Bathsheba never took notice of this, but Solomon did. Benaiah, the commander of Solomon's bodyguard, received orders to kill Adonijah. A short time later, Adonijah is dead. Children, Solomon had to do that. Otherwise, Adonijah would continually try to drive Solomon away. Perhaps the same day, Abiathar received a message to come to Solomon immediately. The high priest dares not refuse, but he comes with a restless feeling. He is afraid, for he does not trust it. Why must he go to the king? Will the king be angry with him because he chose the side of Adonijah? He does not know. With a trembling heart, he enters. Solomon does not look at him in a friendly manner. Abiathar, he says sternly, I really should put you to death, because you knew that I would become king. Still, you chose the side of my brother Adonijah. But because you always were with my father, because you always helped my father, therefore I shall not kill you. Nevertheless, you can no longer be high priest. Return to your birthplace, to Anathoth. Anathoth is a little village which lies within the possession of the tribe of Benjamin. Abiathar leaves Jerusalem. He is driven away by Solomon. Zadok becomes high priest in the place of Abiathar. Here is fulfilled what was said long ago by the prophet of the Lord to the old judge and high priest Eli. He said Eli's descendants would not remain a race of priests because Hophni and Phinehas, Eli's sons, had made themselves unworthy of that priestly office by their sins. Thus, Abiathar, who is of the generation or descendants of Eli, was removed from that office. A man runs hastily through the streets of Jerusalem. As fast as he can, he runs to the place where the Ark of the Covenant is standing. When he gets there, he takes hold of the horns of the altar. Who is this man? He is Joab, the old general of David. He has heard that Adonijah has been slain. It has come to his ears that Abiathar has been punished and sent away by Solomon. Oh, he thinks, now it is my turn. Now Solomon will punish me. Therefore he flees to the altar. Maybe, this will save him from being slain. Sometime later, Solomon hears that Joab has caught hold of the horns of the altar, and in that way is asking for forgiveness. But the king is not allowed to forgive Joab, who is a murderer. He murdered Abner, the general of Saul, and Amasa, the general of Absalom, in cold blood, and a murderer must be killed. Actually, David should have slain Joab, but David did not do it. Now Solomon must do it. Those cowardly murderers shall be punished. The Lord has commanded that in his laws. Even if Joab did catch hold of the horns of the altar, that does not help him because he is slain by Benaiah. Solomon buried Joab, because he always fought so bravely in the battles. Benaiah is now made general in the army in place of Joab. Yes, my lord, the king, that is good. I shall do exactly what you told me to do. A man stands before Solomon. He bows and nods his head. Who is he? Look good. Ah, now we see who he is. He is the same man who once cursed David and threw stones at him when he had to flee from Absalom, his own child, who stood up in rebellion against him. This man's name is Shimei. When Shimei humbly asked David for forgiveness, David did not kill him, although he deserved to be slain. Now that Solomon reigns, he will punish that curser and that mocker. Therefore he called Shimei to him. Shimei, the king says sternly, at one time you mocked my father. At one time you cursed my father. I have not forgotten that. Your punishment for this cowardly deed is that you must come to live near me in Jerusalem. You must build or buy for yourself a house here, and you must dwell in that house. Solomon does with Shimei exactly the same as is done to a naughty boy who must sit in the first seat of the class near the teacher. That is humiliating. Yes, my lord the king, that is good. That I shall do, he answers while he looks at Solomon timidly. Keep in mind, Solomon warns, if you leave Jerusalem, you shall be killed. It shall be your own fault. Yes, my lord the king, I will remember, he promised. For 3 years Shimei lived there, but then two of his servants ran away. They fled to Gath, a city in the land of the Philistines. When Shimei hears this, he goes on a journey. He leaves Jerusalem and goes to Gath. He will go to get his servants. Wait, Shimei, that is not permitted. You may not leave Jerusalem. Whether he did not think of it at that moment, or whether he thought such a small affair was not contrary to the threat of Solomon, we do not know. Isn't it only to bring back his servants into Jerusalem? His plans are not to leave Jerusalem for good. In a short time he returns with a triumphant smile upon his face. All is well. His servants again are with him. But it is not very long before he must appear before Solomon. He does not know that this will be the last time he will ever go out. No, he thinks the king will give his approval. That wasn't such a terrible wrong, was it? Shimei, didn't we two agree that you would remain in Jerusalem? Solomon asks him sternly. And didn't I make you swear by the Lord that you would surely die if you left Jerusalem? Shimei stands before Solomon. Ashamed and terrified, he stares ahead of him. The king spoke the entire truth. He does not know what to answer. Solomon continues, and his voice sounds very bitter. You know the wickedness of your heart, don't you? How you cursed my father when on his pitiful flight? Now the Lord has so directed this matter that you shall be slain through your own foolishness. You shall not die in peace. Shimei turns pale. Go and slay him, Solomon orders Benaiah briefly. He obeys, and a few moments later, Shimei is no longer alive. Thus that curser and mocker is punished by death. This is the result of disobedience. At this time, the tabernacle stood in Gibeon. Shiloh had been destroyed by the Philistines after the death of Eli. The tabernacle was first brought to Nob, remember? But later it was probably brought to Gibeon by Saul. One day an eminent visitor comes to Gibeon. He is Solomon the king. He comes to offer sacrifices unto the Lord. He does not offer one or two animals, but he brings 1,000 offerings. He must be very rich, don't you think? He stays there to sleep that night. In the night, the Lord appears to him in a dream. "Ask what I shall give you," the Lord says to him. Thus Solomon may ask the Lord for whatever he desires. If this were said to you, children, what would you choose? A nice bicycle? An automobile? So many things could be named, isn't that right? Solomon could choose. He could not ask for bicycles or automobiles because they did not have them at that time. But Solomon could ask for many other things, such as riches. He was rich, but he could ask for more gold and silver, or he could ask for long life, so that he could become very old. He could ask the Lord for anything. He also could ask for honor. We are always so happy to be honored, isn't that so? Yes, but what will Solomon now choose? "Lord," he prays, "I am so young, and the people of Israel are so great, so numerous. I cannot rule over them. I cannot be a good king. O Lord, therefore, give me wisdom." Wisdom? What good is wisdom? Isn't that ignorant of Solomon to ask for wisdom? Or is it not? This prayer for wisdom was answered by the Lord, because we read in God's word that the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. The Lord said, "The wisdom for which you have asked, you will receive. You shall be wiser than all the people upon the earth. There never again will be such a wise person as you upon the earth." But because Solomon asked for wisdom, he also received much more. The Lord will give him not only wisdom, but also riches and honor. Yes, if Solomon will continue to serve the Lord, he also will receive a long life. He will reign over Israel a great many years. Solomon made the best choice that he possibly could make. You also ask the Lord for different things, don't you? But what do you ask for? Do you sometimes pray for wisdom? Or do you sometimes pray for a new heart so that you could serve and fear the Lord? What do you desire most of all? "No, king, really, that is my child." "Not true, king. You must not believe her. That is my child." Two women, each with a child, stand before the king. The one child is alive, but the other is dead. This child died during the night. These two women lived together in the same house. Both of them received a son. Early in this morning, the one woman awakened while the other still was sound asleep. She saw that her child was dead, and she did something very horrible. Quietly, she gets up, takes her dead child, and lays it next to her friend who is still sleeping. The living child she takes from its mother and lays it in her own bed. She thinks, no one ever will be the wiser. But when the other woman awakens, she soon notices that the dead child lying next to her is not her own. You stole my son, she said. Oh, woman, you are dreaming, is the answer of the other. What makes you say that? It is true, the mother of the living child continues. Do you think I don't know my own child? That is not true. It is a lie, the other woman says. Together they go to the king, and they ask the king to pronounce judgment in this matter. Each one insists that the living child is hers, but that naturally cannot be. One is speaking the truth, the other is lying. They have no witnesses, for they were only with the two of them. How difficult, how very difficult for Solomon. He must pass a right judgment, but how will he find out the truth? In deep thought, he looks before him. Suddenly he orders, bring me a sword. A sword? What will the king do with a sword? Listen. I do not know whose child he is, says Solomon. Therefore we shall divide the living child. Each shall receive a half. Upon orders from Solomon, the living child is brought before him. Shortly it also will be dead. Suddenly a distressed cry pierces the air. The real mother of the living child falls upon her knees before the king and implores, oh no, king, don't do that. Give the child to the other woman. However, the mother of the dead child thinks differently. Well, yes, that is good. My child is dead. Let the other child die also. Then both of us have nothing. She says, yes, king, do it. Cut the living child in two. Then it is neither mine nor hers. Isn't that cruel? Wait a minute, Solomon says hastily to the executioner. Do not kill the child, but give it to that woman, for she is the mother of the living child, and he points to her who lays imploringly before him. You have tried to deceive me, he says to the other woman. See to it that you go away quickly. She goes. Was she ashamed of herself? We do not know. The other woman kisses her small darling and also goes away, her face shining with gladness. This history shows us very plainly the wisdom of Solomon. It isn't long before all the nation hears about it. Everyone speaks of their young king with respect and esteem. Do you see, children, if the Lord promises something, he surely will give it.